Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
We're going to start a short two-part series that will hopefully bring you some hope and encouragement into your life. I'm very mindful that times are tough for a lot of people. I think many people are battling financially, economically in our country at the moment. There's a lot of political uncertainty in our nation as well. And I just think a lot of people are discouraged at the moment. But what I've realized is that when we look to God, when we put our trust in Him, when we hold on to His promises, in spite of what happens around us, our lives keep moving forward, because that is always God's plan for His people. And we get hope through the word and encouragement as well. And I really pray today that you would hear the voice of God. What I've realized in life is God is always speaking. God is never silent. Sometimes we're not listening. And sometimes you just got to block out all the other voices, tune into the voice of God so that you can discern His will for your life. I want us to read from the book of Jeremiah this morning from chapter 29. And I do want to focus on verse 11, which is, I know, a verse that many of you are familiar with. But it's important that when we pick a verse out of Scripture, that we always understand the context that it comes out of. Because otherwise it's very easy to develop some dodgy theology if we just take isolated verses and we don't understand the context from which they come. And so we read the words of Jeremiah. He was a prophet. He was used by God to speak to His people in a time of great uncertainty and a lot of turmoil in the nation. Jeremiah 29 verse 1, it says, Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was after King Jehoiachin, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. Just to help you understand what was happening, God's people had been exiled to Babylon. Exiled was a nice way of saying they'd been enslaved again, much like they were in Egypt. And it had come as a result of their continual wickedness, their continual disobedience to God. They continued to worship idols. Eventually, God said, enough is enough. And He allowed King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to take them captive from their land into a foreign land as captives and as exiles. It goes on to say, this is what Jeremiah's letter said. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives He has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you will have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. God basically saying to His people that even though you've been taken captive, even though you're in exile in a foreign nation, He says, I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to just develop a victim mentality now. Don't just curl up and die, because even in this foreign place, even in this place where you are captive, there is still opportunity for growth. There's still opportunity for increase. There's still opportunity for progress if you will follow the good plans that I have for your life. Then verse 8. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. God basically giving them a warning against those who would distract them from God's plan for their lives. Because what I've realized, there are always other people around us who will attempt to derail and distract us from what God has for us. God has a plan for our lives that we need to follow, but there are other people in your lives who also have a plan for your life that can often be contradicting to God's plan for your life. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Everyone say 70 years. I don't know if you realize how long 70 years is. Most people in this auditorium are not 70. 70 years from now will be the 6th of October, 2089. That's like, what, 2089? God said, that's how long you're going to be in exile for. These are the consequences for all the decisions you've made up to this point. That meant that those who had been taken exile would die in exile. Those who would be born probably in the next 10 to 20 years would spend their entire life as captives in exile. But God is saying to them, in spite of all of this, there is still good news. He goes on to say, and he says, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. You know, as I read that this week, I was so encouraged by the word with regards to our own country. Because I think for many South Africans, sometimes we feel captive in our own nation. We build high walls, we put security gates up, we put fences up to keep others out. But at the same time, we are essentially confined in our own homes. Many people feel helpless in our nation. Immigration stats are higher than ever before again. Many people would love to immigrate, but they feel, well, I haven't got the money or I haven't got the resources or the skills. And so we can feel captive in our own nation. But I just felt God saying, you know what? Even though you feel like you're living as a captive, there are still good things available for you. There is still hope for your life and there is still hope for this nation. Then verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, I love what Dr. Billy Graham once said. He said, God is unchanging in his love. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Don't let the newspaper headlines frighten you. God is still sovereign and he's still on the throne. I think that's such a great word for South Africans. We read the newspaper headlines, we watch TV, and we start freaking out about the future. And we believe God has left our nation. He hasn't left our nation. Verse 12 goes on to say, in those days, the Lord says, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. Isn't that a great word from the Lord? I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. I'm going to speak to you on embracing God's plans for life. Embracing God's plans for life. If you've been driving out in Durban North this week on Umhlanga Rocks Drive, you might have seen our new billboard that is out there on the road, double-sided billboard. Firstly, just reminding people that, hey, Rivers Church is in town. And if you're not sure where you are at the moment, this is where you are. You're in the 9 o'clock service. Perhaps you just woke up and thought, where am I? You're in the 9 o'clock service there. Got all the details on. But on the flip side of that billboard, we've actually got that passage of scripture from the book of Jeremiah, reminding the Christians in our community that God has not given up on us, that he still has plans and a hope and a future, and letting the unbelievers know who have to sit in traffic and look at that sign every day, that there is a God and he is good and he has good plans and he has a hope and a future for all those who would embrace his plan for their lives. You know, if you've ever built something before, you have to build according to plans. You know, you can't just get some sand and stone and a bit of cement and mix it together and think, well, let's see what can happen here. You have to build according to a plan. Because if you don't build according to a plan, that which you build will likely fall down. And even if it doesn't fall down, it is an illegal structure. Our country still has very good building laws. You have to build according to a plan. And I think the same is true in life. All of us are building our lives. We're all building something. Unfortunately, many people are not building according to God's plan. We're either building according to no plan, where we just live each day, seeing what happens, hoping for the best, or we are building to someone else's plan that is contradictory to God's plan for our life. You know, in this next season of church life, we are going to begin planning for our new building. That will be somewhere in this very close area. I can't point exactly because there are things that still need to happen before we can do that. We're still busy trying to buy property and source a few other things. But we will be drawing plans. We're not just going to pitch up there and say, let's build something and see what happens. We're also not going to have sketchy plans. Let's put a line there. Let's put two lines there and see what happens. No, we will build according to specific plans. Because that which is built will be a significant structure that will bring glory to God, that will be a beacon of light and hope in this community where many people will come in and know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, the same is true with our lives. We have to build according to a plan. So let me give you a few thoughts this morning from this scripture. Firstly, is that God has plans for your life. Some of you needed to get a bit more excited than that. Yeah, that's right. God has plans for your life. That is good news on a Sunday morning. Maybe you didn't know that God has plans for your life. Maybe you've forgotten that God has plans for your life. Maybe you've overlooked the fact that He has plans for your life. Now imagine when you went into work tomorrow morning, there you were at your desk and all of a sudden you got a phone call from upstairs. And you were told the boss wants to see you. And anyway, you made your way upstairs. You were a little bit nervous. But when you got to the boss's office, there she was. Her door was open. She had a smile on her face, a welcoming smile. There was a chair there for you. And she said, come sit down. Sit down at my desk. I've got plans for your life. Well, in that moment, you would think this is going to be an awesome day. My boss has got plans for my life. Her checkbook is sitting open there. Immediately, you're thinking increase. You're thinking promotion. You're thinking about all the things that you will be able to do in the future. Why? Because your boss has plans for your life. Now, let's take that one step further. Let's say you get a call from the president's office that he wants to see you. Now, you might be a bit nervous or a bit hesitant, but anyway, you're dressed in your best. You were there on time, not late. You were there on time early. And you got to the president's office, and there he was sitting with a big smile on his face, a welcoming smile. There was a chair with your name on it. And he said to you, come into my office. He said, I've heard all the good things you've been doing, and I just want to let you know that I've got plans for your life. In that moment, whether you voted for him or not, whether you supported him or not, was irrelevant. Why? Because the president of the country has plans for your life. You're going to be walking out of that office. Woo-hoo-hoo. Now, let's say husbands. You got home from work tomorrow evening, and it was a hard Monday. But there, as you opened your front door, there was your gorgeous wife, looking immaculate. And she smiled at you and she said, honey, I've got plans for you later. All of a sudden, all the hardship of the day all just goes away. Why? Because your wife has got plans for you tomorrow night. They say faith without hints is dead. Now it's amazing how we get excited about these things. We get excited about the boss's plans and the president's plans and your husband or wife's plans. But sometimes we get less excited about God's plans. Yet God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made you, says, I've got plans for you. They are good plans for your life. God designed these plans. He put thought into them. He knows what they are. They are specific plans for your life. He hasn't just put a few notes on a paper and there, let's see how that turns out. None of specific plans for our lives. And His desire is that we would outwork them through the life we live. Once again, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for? Come say with me, for good. For good, plans for good. Many people feel that God is always against them. In fact, there are many people who live their whole lives believing that God is out to be against them. God is for you. He's not against you. He's on your side. He has good plans. They are plans not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. See, God cares about you. God is interested in the outcome of your life. God desires good for every single one of us. R.C. Sproul the great author once said that God's plan never changes because he never changes. You know, I don't know about you, but I often have a change of plan. You know, sometimes you can come into the office in the morning and I was planning to do that, but then I had a change of plan and now I'm going to do this instead. You know, Friday night I went to bed and in the back of my head, I thought maybe, you know, I might get up early in the morning and take the family out to the beach and yeah, we'll do that. Well, I woke up early Saturday morning and I was tired. And I thought, you know what? I need a change of plans. I rolled over on the other side, put the blanket over my head and went to sleep. Change of plans. Maybe next weekend, when you're coming to the 9 o'clock service, or when you're planning to come to the 9 o'clock service, maybe on Saturday morning, you might have a change of plan. And you might say, you know what? Instead of coming to 9 o'clock, I'm going to come to the Saturday 5 o'clock service because I'm going to free up space in the service for new people. I'm going to help build that Saturday service. You can have a change of plan. How many of you received that? One person, thank you. The 9 o'clock service are like Jesus. They shall not be moved. God's plans are unchanging. Why? Because he is unchanging. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us that we are God's masterpiece. Tell the person next to you, you are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. God has a purpose for your life and his plans are there to help you fulfill that purpose for which he has put you and I on earth. The second thought is this, is the devil also has plans for your life. Never forget that. God has a plan for your life, but the devil also has a plan for your life. The Bible reminds us in John 8:44 that the devil is the father of all lies. In fact, that's how Jesus described the devil. Not as a bad guy, not as a wicked guy, but the father of all lies. And it's important that we understand that because then you are able to recognize what his plan is for your life. His plan will always be a counterfeit plan. It will always be one that contradicts God's good plan for your life. It will always oppose what God has prepared for us. Someone once put it like this. They said, God has a plan for your life. The enemy has a plan for your life. Be ready for both. Just be wise enough to know which one to battle and which one to embrace. It's amazing how easy it is to embrace the devil's plan for your life. And I think the reason why there's so much wrong in the world, why there's so much hurt and so much brokenness, is because unfortunately too many people have embraced the devil's plan for their life. Maybe not even intentionally, but simply by rejecting God's plan for your life, the only other alternative is that you embrace the enemy's plan. Because it's either God's plan or it's the devil's plan. You say, well, what about my own plan for my life? Well, if your plan lines up with God's plan for your life, it's God's plan. If it doesn't line up with God's plan, it remains the enemy's plan. The thing about the devil's plan is this, is that it'll always involve three things. It'll firstly always involve compromise. You will always have to compromise something to follow his plan. Perhaps compromising your integrity, maybe compromising your values or compromising the word of God, but there will always be compromise that is involved when you embrace the devil's plan. The second thing his plan will always involve is shortcuts. He will always offer you a shortcut to get to where you want to be. God works by process. God doesn't work by shortcuts. God doesn't transform you from zero to hero overnight. God will always do something in us before he does something through us. He's a God of process. But the devil will make you believe that you can shortcut that process. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve, if you eat of this fruit, you will be just like God. In other words, he offered the wisdom of God to Eve without her having to go through the process. She fell for it, and it cost her everything. He will always offer you a shortcut. God is not a God of shortcut. He wants to build into our lives. Everything we go through, everything we experience is there as part of his process to get us to where he needs us to be. And the third thing the devil's plans will always involve is distortion of God's truth. Never forget, he's a crafty salesman. He will sell you a very good lie. One that sounds so believable, but remember, he's the father of lies, so he can't speak truth, he can merely distort the truth. And so he will tell you things like, God just wants you to be happy, you know. Really? I thought God wanted us to be holy. Or he will tell you, you know, the Lord helps those who help themselves, so you just keep taking because I'm sure that God wants that for your life. Or he will say things, you know, you're free to choose. You choose your sexuality. You choose your gender, whatever makes you happy, whatever makes you feel good on the inside. And we believe the lie, we bind to the lie, and by doing so, we end up embracing the devil's plans for our life. Can you say amen? Let me just say this. If your life doesn't work out the way it should, it's no fault of God's and it's no fault of God's plans. It is simply that we've chosen to reject God's plan and we've embraced the enemy's plan for our lives instead. The third thing this morning is this, is that God's plans are always for good because he is good. God's plans are always for good because he is good. God's plan is consistent with his character. In Psalm 100 verse 5, the Bible tells us the Lord is always good. Everyone say always. The Lord is always good. He's not good sometimes. He's not good occasionally. He's not just good on Sundays when you come to church. He's not just good when you're feeling good or when life is going well. God is always good. He is always loving and kind. And his faithfulness goes on and on to each succeeding generation. You see, God's plans can be trusted because he can be trusted. God's plans are good because he himself is always good. The author Elizabeth George said that God has plans for you and his plans are for good because God himself is good. He can neither think nor do evil. If you realize the weight of that statement, God cannot think evil and he cannot do evil. Why? Because he is always consistently good. Unfortunately for us, we are not like that. We think a lot of evil and we do a lot of evil. In fact, I'm pretty sure that everyone in here, although it's only 9:58 in the morning, have already either thought evil or done evil this morning. Maybe on the way to church, you had a fight with your spouse in the car. And the whole service, you've been stewing in your seat there. Thinking evil thoughts towards her. Maybe you had a fight with the kids this morning because they took so long to get ready for church again. How are you going to teach them a lesson later? Maybe you've been thinking evil thoughts towards the car park team outside there when you wanted to just drop off outside the front gate and they told you to drive around to the drop-off area. How dare they? Don't they know who I am? Have a word with them afterwards. Maybe you've been thinking evil thoughts towards the awesome ushering team. In your heart, the Lord told you that you need to sit there today, but instead they put you over there. And it's just messed up everything for you today. You can't receive from the Lord now. Or maybe you've been thinking other type of thoughts. Maybe there was that person three rows behind you in worship. While you had one eye on Jesus. You had one eye three rows back there. Thinking thoughts you shouldn't be thinking in church on a Sunday morning. The point is simply, we are not like God. He can neither think nor do evil because he is always and consistently good. And because he is always good, his plans for us are always good as well. Can you say amen? Romans 8:28 in the Amplified Bible says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. Very simply, when we embrace God's plan for life, when we submit our plans and adopt His plans, He says, whatever you face at the moment, things will always work out for your good. You know, I think one of the things that we sometimes tell people in life incorrectly, when they're going through hard times or things are just not working around, we mean well. And we'll say something like, oh, don't worry, it'll all work out for good. Now, that's not necessarily true. Because if you have not embraced God's plan for your life, it actually doesn't matter what you do, it'll never work out for good in your life. But when you've embraced God's plan and you've said, Lord, not my way, but your way, no matter what you're facing currently, it will always work out for your good, because that's what God's word says. We know with great confidence that the one who is deeply concerned about us will make all things work out for our good as He planned according to His will in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Let me give you another thought. Is this okay? This is, I think, where the problem comes in. We must trust that God's plans are better than our plans. I think this is a challenge that many people face. But we must trust that God's plans are better than our plans. Unfortunately, most people don't. Because if we did, we would do what God needs us to do. But so often we do things contrary to what God says, because in our hearts, we believe that our plan is better than His plan. And many people incorrectly believe that if I embrace God's plan, my life is going to be boring. I'm going to be a boring Christian. Or God's going to spoil my fun. Or He's going to send me as a missionary to Mongolia or China or somewhere. We believe He wants to spoil the good time that we're having. Frustrate our life. Listen, God only frustrates the plans of the wicked. He doesn't frustrate the plans of those who embrace His plan for their lives. And if you ever find yourself saying something like this, I know the Bible says, but. Warning bell, ding, 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 ding. You are about to embrace the enemy's plan for your life. Yeah, I know the Bible says God created all things, but what about evolution? Shouldn't we at least? No, you shouldn't. Because if you go down that route, you're embracing the enemy's plan for your life. Yeah, I know the Bible says that God created male and female, but shouldn't we at least explore other alternatives? No, you shouldn't. The moment you go down that route, you're embracing the enemy's plan for your life. I know the Bible says that we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage, but, you know, they say you got to test drive the vehicle before you buy it, and you know how it is. You don't have to test drive anything. It works. All the parts fit together. You don't have to test drive anything. The moment you go down that road, all you are doing, I'm embracing the devil's plan for my life. It might seem subtle, but remember, he's a crafty salesman. He will sell you a lie, disguised as a wonderful opportunity, but it will always take you down the path of destruction. And I know the Lord's speaking to some people right now. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Let's move on. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Now, let me just say, the Bible's not saying that God has foolish plans, and the Bible's not saying that God is weak. It's speaking metaphorically there, basically saying that even if God did have foolish plans, they would still be wiser than the wisest human plan. And even if God did have weaknesses, His weaknesses would still be stronger than our greatest strength. Never forget, His ways are not our ways. Bible says His thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are bigger and higher. His plans are far more superior to anything that you and I could come up with, even on our best day. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. In other words, let your plans become His plans for your life, and He will make your paths straight. You know, when you and I embrace God's plan for our life, It's amazing how He straightens out your journey through life. Don't have to go through all the issues and the struggles over and over again. God straightens your path out. The path is clear for you to walk on. It's amazing when we trust God's plans for our lives, how life works. I don't know if you realize that. When you trust His plans, life works. When you don't trust His plans, life doesn't work. It becomes difficult and complicated. You know, I've had many plans for my own life over the years. When I was in high school, I planned to be a doctor. I thought Dr. Dean sounded awesome. Double D, Dr. Dean, DD. But then they told me I had to study for 7 years first. I couldn't just become a doctor. I thought, oh, that doesn't seem fair. So that plan didn't work out. Then I had a plan to be a sports journalist. I thought, you know what, I'm going to hang out with all these sports stars and get free entrance into the games. But then they said, you've actually got to write articles about the games. And I thought, no, I haven't got time for that. That's going to spoil the fun. Then I thought, okay, instead I'm going to be a rock star. Greatest rock star that ever lived. It's going to have the tight leather pants and those big hairdos like they had in the 80s. And it's going to have all these young girls throwing their clothes and their underwear at me on the stage and make lots of money and be famous. And well, that didn't work out either. Then I was going to sell ice creams. This I thought was a genius plan. I was going to buy one of those combi vans, put a soft serve machine in it, and I was going to travel between Durban and Cape Town all year round, just sitting on the beach selling ice creams. Well, that didn't work out either, much to my wife's relief. All the while getting more and more frustrated. Why is life not working out? Why is God against me? For one day I had the revelation from the Word of God that He has good plans for my life. See, my plans I thought were good, but they weren't good. They would have only led to my destruction. And I had to get to the place one day where I said, God, my plans clearly don't work. And He says, finally, you realize that. I said, Lord, I choose Your plan for my life. And it's amazing when you embrace God's plan, life works. Life gets better. Your outlook on the future begins to change. You live with a sense of hope and expectation. Because God says, I've given you plans for good, not for disaster. And the reason I've given you these good plans is so that you can have a hope and you can have a future. Joel Osteen once put it like this. He said, God's way is better than your way. His plan is bigger than your plan. His dream for your life is more rewarding, more fulfilling, better than you've ever dreamed. Now stay open and let God do it His way. I wonder how many of you this morning are in a place where you say, sure, life is hard. My life is just not working out the way it should. All these issues. It might simply be that you are following your plan for your life. Because remember, the foolishness of God is greater than the greatest wisdom of man. No matter how good you think your plans are, no matter how awesome they seem, the least from God is greater than the greatest that you or I could come up with. God's plan exceeds anything we could conjure up. He can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we could dream, ask, think, or imagine. Submit your plans to His plans. Let Him take charge of your life. Let me finish with the words of Frank Sinatra, great singer, and his famous signature song. He sang, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. Sounds very noble, sounds awesome. I showed them, I was the man, I was the boss, I made the money. Sounds great. And I think many people will step into eternity one day singing their own version of that song. I did it my way. Only for God to say, yes, you did it your way, but you should have done it my way. Because my way was better than your way.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.